ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And I always watch these guys on TV. You know, I see Tiger Woods and those guys are hitting the ball. I go, oh, come on, how hard can that be? Until I got in the game and I tried to play, and it's a lot different. And that's how it really is with the Lord. God calls us to do something, and it's hard to get in. Look at what the Lord is doing here. Moses is dead. Joshua, get in the game. And for us, you know, the Lord, in a sense, is our coach. He gives us that encouragement like he did with Joshua. God raises people up for work today, and he raises people up like you and me. And I love that he uses common people. He uses nobodies for an incredible work. In fact, we see in Joshua chapter 1, verses 16 and 18, that the people recognize what God was doing in the life of Joshua, that he was now the leader. It says, they answered, the people answered Joshua saying, all that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. You see, they recognized the hand of God upon Joshua, and they said, man, we're willing to follow you. Wherever you go, wherever you tell us to go, we will go, as long as you're following the Lord. And that's really the key. I'm not going to follow someone who's not following the Lord. That's a dangerous thing to do. And as leaders, we represent him. And if we're not representing him correctly, man, don't lead people. You'll be in trouble. Now, how do you know if someone's following the Lord or not? Well, it's simple. If they're moving away from the truths of God found in the Word of God, then they're not following the Lord. That's pretty simple. The Scriptures give us many, many warnings of false teachers and false teaching. In Jeremiah 23, verses 16 and 17, thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. These were so-called the prophets of God, and they really weren't. They made themselves out to be prophets of God. The Lord says these men were not speaking for him. And I guess that means they weren't prophets of God. You see, why does the Lord say that? Because they were speaking from their own heart, what they felt, the wisdom of the world instead of from the mouth of the Lord or according to the word of God. Judgment was coming upon the southern kingdom of Judah by the Babylonians. And the prophets were saying, oh no, everything's going to be hunky-dory. I'm paraphrasing again. Everything's fine, thus says the Lord. See that phrase? I'm qualifying what I'm saying because I'm saying, thus says the Lord, so you got to believe me now. No, I don't. Because if you say, thus says the Lord, such and such and such and such, and yet it goes contrary to what God's word says, you're not speaking for the Lord. You see how simple it is? And here's the difficult thing. So many people follow these people. But understand, false teachers and false teaching are making you worthless. I didn't say that. That's what the Lord said. If you're listening to them, if you're following them, they're not building you up in the Lord. They're making you worthless. That's a heavy statement, but it's true. In 2 Peter 3, verses 14 through 18, Peter put it like this. He said, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which there are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. So we see men taking the scriptures and twisting them to fit what they want to believe. And then they are taking these false teachings and destroying others with them. And Peter says, you guys should know this. You shouldn't be taken unaware. You've been warned already. Don't fall prey to it. Instead of listening to what these guys are saying, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Simple. There's no growth in following false teachers. It hurts you. It won't help you. And lastly, if you remember in Acts chapter 20, when Paul gave his address to the Ephesian elders at Miletus, he said in verses 28 through 31, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. It's amazing the excuses that I hear in regard to false teachers and false teaching. People want to ignore these things or try to say that's not what they mean. Of course it is. And Paul's warning is that from outside, savage wolves will come into the church to try and devour the sheep with their false teaching. If you've been with us very long, you know that I am very careful who I allow to come up here and teach at Calvary. I don't just let anyone. God has placed me as the under-shepherd of this church, and the sheep that he has purchased with his own blood, I'm responsible for. I'm thankful that I have a man like Steve who, when I'm on vacation, he can come and teach, because I trust him. And the guest speakers that I have, believe me, I check them out to make sure. And the thing is this, not only savage wolves from outside the church, but also from within. And the way you recognize them is that these men will rise up, they'll speak perverse things or things that go against the teaching of God's word, and they'll sound very spiritual, but you got to watch out. They're drawing the sheep to themselves and not to God. You know, I love what Pastor Chuck used to say regarding false teachers and their false teaching. He said, if it's true, it's not new. And if it's new, then it's not true. That's right on. Simple. People love to put their own spin on the scriptures, and in the end, they're not speaking for God, but for themselves, and they're hurting people and dividing people. And that's dangerous. You know, Joshua, he was a man who loved the Lord, followed the Lord, and the Lord raised him up to lead his people. And in Joshua 4:4, we see how this is all played out. It says, on that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. You know, again, like I said, I love that the Lord uses nobodies to accomplish his will. He's not looking for the tall, dark, and handsome guy. He's not looking for a mover and shaker. He's not looking for this. But he's just looking for someone who is faithful to him, someone who has surrendered his life to him. It's not that he can't use, you know, tall, dark, and handsome people or educated people or whatever. He uses anyone who will surrender his life, their life to him. And he wants you just to be faithful in service. You know, God raised Joshua up, he raised Moses up, he raised Solomon up, he raised Paul up, and we can go on and on. And God wants to raise every one of us up to be used for his glory. You know, Paul in Ephesians 2:10 said that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I like the way the Amplified Bible puts it, this verse. It goes, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand, for us taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Wow, you know, God has prepared the work for us, and he's prepared us for the work. Our responsibility is to walk, is to take those steps of faith. And that's the hardest part, isn't it? It was for me with the roller coaster. I saw how high it was. I think it was like an 80 or 90 foot drop from the top. And as a little kid, that was scary. But once I took that step of faith, man, then I was ready to go on. But God raised up Joshua, and he has raised us up as well for good works. Well, look at verse 9 here in Joshua 3. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. So now Joshua is going to lead the people. God raised him up, and Joshua is going to lead the people. You think, well, yeah, that just makes sense. God said, Joshua, you lead the people, and that's what he's doing. But again, Joshua had to take those steps of faith, right? God raised him up, but Joshua had to walk. He didn't force Joshua to do this, but he encouraged him, and it was up to Joshua then to go forward and lead the people. And, you know, to lead the people, you need to be that example. You have to be there. I remember this is probably 20 years ago or so here at Calvary. We needed someone to oversee the Sunday school program. And, you know, it's an important ministry, like any ministry here, but we're teaching God's kids the things of God, and we think it's very, very important. And someone came forward and wanted to be in charge of this ministry. And I was excited, but then the Lord shared with me something that was pretty important. You see, this man came to church when he felt like it. It wasn't he had to work or something like that, but he had other plans and came to church when it didn't interfere with his other plans. I do believe God was raising him up, but there was a problem. If you're involved in ministry, you actually have to be at church to run the ministry. I know, I'm so brilliant. Went a lot of schooling for that one, no. So I talked with him, you know, I explained my concern, you know, that if he was in charge of Sunday school, he needed to be at church. It's hard to oversee something when you're not there. And it didn't go over well. I kind of didn't think it would. He said I was being legalistic and wanting him to come to church. That wasn't true. I didn't force him to come to church, and I hope I don't force anyone to come to church. You see, you should want to come because you love the Lord. You love fellowshipping with the brethren, and nothing's going to get in your way. I'm not saying you can't go on vacation or you can't, you know, go away for the weekend. But if it's a habit, something's wrong, and it was. And instead of dealing with this, praying about it, he and his wife left the church. I don't know, if you want to be used by God, don't you want to come and worship him and fellowship and study his word? I love going on vacation with my wife. You know, we just got back. I love it. But I'll tell you what, as it gets closer to coming home, I'm already thinking about what I'm going to do. It drives my wife crazy. You know, she tells me, you can't bring any commentaries on vacation. She found out I brought some commentaries. But we're starting 1 Corinthians in, you know, 3 or 4 weeks on Thursday evening, so I'm just preparing for that. Why do I do that? Because I love the Lord, and I love being able to use the gifts that he's given me to share with you. I'm excited. You know, I talk with Art a lot. You know, he gets here early on Thursdays and Sundays, and it's like he's so excited it's Thursday. Because now we get together, worship God, study his word, fellowship with each other, talk. It's great. And, you know, thing is, if you're in ministry and you show up when you want, you're late, you're not committed to the ministry you're in, get out of it, man. You don't belong in it. You're not honoring God by your actions. And you're hurting the body of Christ. You know, for Joshua, God raised him up. And look at the faithfulness. He's already talking to the people, telling them what they need to do. Come together. We need to speak together. You need to hear the words of God. And, you know, it's important. The raging Jordan River was flowing by, and they were supposed to cross it, 2 to 3 million people. Maybe they were fearful too. Maybe they saw it as hopeless. And Joshua is going to speak the words of God to encourage them and direct them. Why? Because he was a leader. That's what leaders do. And wherever you serve in the body of Christ, we encourage people by the word of God that we speak, not the complaining we do. He says, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. Come here. You got to hear what God has for us, man. This is awesome. And yet in the church today, it's not about hearing the words of God. it's no longer many times about the Lord, which is sad. This is the age of self that's come into the church as well. The language is filled with phrases that glorify personal choice above all other values. You know, self-determination, self-knowledge, self-esteem, self-help. Do it yourself. We've developed a mentality. Remember the hamburger slogan, have it your way. No, it's not my way. It's His way. It's what God has said. And as soon as I start doing things my way, look out. As leaders in our homes, our jobs, in the church, wherever, God has raised us up. Are we willing to lead? Joshua led the people, and we should do the same. Well, look at verse 10 here in Joshua 3. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites, the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites and all the other ites. He's going to drive them out. Here's the progression. God raised up Joshua. Joshua leads the people. Who gets the glory? God does. God's going to do this, right? Not us. God is. When you're walking with the Lord, when you've submitted your life to Him, when it's all about His will and not yours, you bring glory to Him. And for the children of Israel, Joshua wants them to understand that once they enter this land, once they cross over the Jordan River and defeat these enemies, it's not going to be by their might, their strength. God is going to do this. You shall know that the living God is among you. He's going to drive them out. Now, what is glory? Well, the Hebrew word is kabod, and it basically means weight, something that is heavy. You know, remember years ago, I'm probably dating myself a little bit, where, you know, the kids would go, well, that was heavy, man. What does that mean? It was weighty. And that's what this is what this word means. In science, it's kind of the mass of an object, the substance of a person or thing, we might look at it like that. And for God, it's His whole character, all His attributes, who He is. You know, God is love, yes. We see that in 1 John 4:16. But it's all about all of God's attributes, all that He is. It's heavy. It's weighty. And in the Scriptures, we are told to bring glory to the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 5:20, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, Jesus just got done talking about that we're salt and light in this world there in Matthew 5. Not in the church, in the world. Salt and light. To be an influence wherever we go and whatever we do. To shine brightly for Him. And what happens as we are salt and light in this world is that the Father receives glory. One writer put it like this in regards to what this whole word means, glory, or to glorify God. To glorify God means to give glory to Him. The word glory is related to God in the Old Testament, bears with it the idea of greatness of splendor. In the New Testament, the word translated glory means dignity, honor, praise, and worship. Putting the two together, we find that glorifying God means to acknowledge His greatness and give Him honor by praising and worshiping Him. Primarily because He, and He alone, deserves to be praised, honored, and worshipped. God's glory is the essence of His nature, and we give glory to Him by recognizing that essence. The question that comes to mind is, if God has all the glory, which He does, how then do we give Him glory? How can we give God something which is His in the first place? The key is found in 1 Chronicles 16, verses 28 through 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. In this verse, we see two actions on our part that make up the action of glorifying God. First, we ascribe or give glory to Him because it is His due. No one else deserves the praise and worship that we give to glorify Him. Isaiah 42:8 confirms this. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. Second, we are to bring an offering to God as part of the worship that glorifies Him. What is the offering we bring to God to glorify Him? The offering we bring to God as we come before Him in the splendor or beauty of His holiness involves agreement, obedience, submission, and rehearsing His attributes or extolling Him. Glorifying God begins with agreeing with everything He says, especially about Himself. In Isaiah 42:5, God declares, "I am the Lord God. I created the heavens like an open tent above. I made the earth and everything that grows on it. I am the source of life for all who live on this earth. So listen to what I say." Because of who He is, holy and perfect and true, His proclamations and statutes are holy and perfect and true. And we glorify Him by listening to and agreeing with them. God's Word, the Bible, is His Word to us, all that we need for life in Him. Listening to and agreeing with Him, though, will not glorify Him unless we also submit to Him and obey the commands contained in His Word. You know, I think a great verse to look at, and we talked about this in our study in Romans a few weeks back, but look at Romans 12:1. Because Paul nails it here. This is really just bringing glory to God, but this is the key. In Romans 12:1 and 2, we're told, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." In other words, we want to glorify God? Lay your life on the altar of sacrifice. "Here I am, Lord. Use me as you will." What happens is, "Lord, I want to do this." No. "Lord, what do you want to do? What do you want me to do?" That is really important. We want to glorify God, but we do so in our actions. You know, Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 said this, "According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain." You know, as the Lord is magnified in our lives, it brings glory to God. How? Well, let me give you an example. When, you know, our kids were small and they would go play at somebody else's house, and, you know, sometimes the parent, the mom would call and say, "Oh, you know, Julie, you have the greatest kids in the world. I mean, they ate everything on their plate. They didn't complain. They'd say please and thank you. They shared their toys with my kids. They were wonderful." And Julie would go, "Are you talking about my kids?" No, she wouldn't say that. What were they doing? They were bringing glory, in a sense, to Julie and me by the way they were behaving. And isn't that true with the Lord? The way we behave, the way we live out our lives, brings glory to Him. It's so important today because, you know, the news media wants to put the most outrageous Christians on television to say this is what Christians are like. If you remember years ago out west, the homosexual boy was murdered by these two guys. And, you know, one of the Christian groups, churches, was excited, I guess, about it. And they were promoting their website, GodHatesFags.com. I thought, wow, you don't even know who God is. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you see how we can bring glory to God, or we could dishonor Him by the things we do and the things we say? I think it's really important. Because, you know, I look at a world today that is, I see it in chaos. I see that, you know, we can't even, you know, say I'm bringing home the bacon anymore because it offends PETA. Because, you know, bringing home the bacon's a bad thing. You know, I don't know what you're going to say. You can't, you know, sing the song, you know, "Baby, It's Cold Outside," because that's offensive. Well, you know, Frosty the Snowman. Well, that's offensive to women because it's the snowman, not a snow woman. You know, Rudolph, you know, come on. You know, you can go on, right? And we can get caught up in that. But why don't we bring the love of Christ to these people? Because they need hope. They think by, you know, not singing the song, "Baby, It's Cold Outside," it's going to make them feel better. No, there's something else that's going to offend them. They need someone who's going to share Jesus with them that will transform their lives and give them hope in the Lord and not in this world.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.